The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host, guest, Random Reptoid, or Chupacabra may not necessarily reflect those of AM 950 Radio, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Now, it's time to step into the unknown. There are things people experience but never talk about. A shadow moving in the corner, flickering of the lights, a disembodied voice. We invite you to talk with us. Share your story, share your experience. Because this isn't just your story, this is our story. This is Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken.
And this is Ghost Box Radio on AM 950, where every night we talk about the paranormal, ufology, Bigfoot, and so much more. My name is Greg Bakken. Thank you very much for joining me tonight. You know, I hope everyone had a great weekend. I think it was over here. It wasn't too bad weather-wise, was it? It was all right. I hope everybody had an opportunity to go out and see the new Exorcist film, Exorcist Believer. We talked about it enough last week. Hopefully some of you went out to see it. If you did, put in the comments. I'd like to know what you thought of it if you hadn't gone to the advanced screening. Funny enough, I was talking with somebody who's going to be a guest this week, and she wanted to talk with me before deciding whether or not she wanted to come on or not. And she said to me, you talk an awful lot about demons. And I'm like, well, you did get us on a bad week or a good week, depending if you like demons or not, because we were promoting a lot of Exorcist Believer. And yeah, we do talk about demons quite a bit around here, but, you know, not as often as all that. I mean, it's not that bad, is it? So I got to give a disclaimer first before we bring on our guest tonight. First of all, you know, if you don't like the subject of how people die, such as stars or anything like that, or talk about personal artifacts and maybe in a gossipy sort of way, and talk about just maybe things that might be a little bit, you might consider distasteful, maybe tonight's not a good night to listen to the program. I'm full disclosure, I'm a huge fan of all that. I have been for many, many years, and that is why I am so excited to have my guest on tonight, because I've been a huge fan of his work for years. We've talked a number of times, and it's just so much going on with him, and it's going to be fun to catch up because I feel a little out of touch. Tonight my guest is Scott Michaels, and you may know him from his website, findadeath.com, his brand, Dearly Departed. He has a YouTube channel. He does a podcast. It is, and Scott can correct me if he wants, because I was trying to think, like, what does he do? And he talks about, he talks about celebrities, how they passed. He talks about the way that they live their life, and sometimes that life isn't always going to be pretty. It's not what you would see in the papers or anything like that. This is the real way that some of these people have passed, and I think most people, even if they don't want to admit it, they find this extraordinarily fascinating. So, Scott, welcome to Ghost Box Radio. How are you tonight?
Doing great, Greg. Thank you so much for having me along.
Well, thank you for being on. You know, first of all, amateur AM over here, okay? Let's get that out of the way. I must have sent you the wrong link to join us, first of all. So I appreciate you hanging out in a room by yourself, a virtual room by yourself for I don't know how long, but I'm glad we were able to get it all figured out.
It's all good, all good.
Just how it works over. That's why I call, when I'm over here by myself, I just call it amateur AM. So, you know, first of all, Scott, you know, am I on the right track of how I described you in terms of what you do?
Tasteless?
No. It's just that the conversation can be tasteless. Some people can consider it tasteless. I want to kind of negate that, because if that's the case, then I'm tasteless as well.
Well, yeah, I guess I've made a living. Somebody described my tour business as taking a vacation in other people's misery. I just sort of tell the ends of people's biographies. That's what I've assembled since, you know, since the 80s is when I started doing this full time. And so I just sort of zag with the zigs, and now I'm all online instead of being in a van on the streets of Hollywood.
And, you know, the thing I find very interesting about it, too, is because I was thinking about this as well in my drive over today, was there's a lot of people who collect certain aspects of stars' lives, or they collect information or whatnot. But you've also had the luck of being a part of different, you know, like that you can actually walk the walk, talk the talk. And what I'm talking about is, I think in one of your Dearly Departed podcasts, talking about a night that you had dinner with Roger Moore. And, you know, it's stuff like that where it's just like you're not just collecting the stuff. You kind of immersed yourself in this world very much.
Yeah, it's funny that, yeah, I do have good stories, and I've had a lot of good experiences, and I've met a lot of really unusual people. And I've sort of made myself into those things. You know what I mean? It wasn't it worked. Like the dinner with Roger Moore, it just so happened that, you know, my ex was working on a television program, and we ended up doing that night. Mm-hmm. Pardon me, it was all very organic, but I've always found it kind of easy to insert myself into those things, like going to Phyllis Diller's house, and on my way home from Phyllis Diller's house after getting one of her paintings and having a great picture taken with her, having a nice conversation, then going to the hotel where Divine died and stealing the door from the room that Divine died in, because they were tearing down the hotel. So, yeah, I guess I've always went headfirst into these things. I've never really been shy about it.
And what is it that you find is so addictive about that? About that, I mean, and it's really hard to pinpoint because there are different facets to this. But I guess maybe the whole thing about knowing how these stars die, going and getting the you know, those pieces of hotel rooms or houses or whatever else. What is it that drives you to want to do that?
It's funny because these people are celebrities, are our royalty here in America, you know, and we all know who Clark Gable and Frank Sinatra were, and Divine and Pee Wee Herman and all those mm-hmm. people. But we see them on the screens and we're sort of falling in love with them or in hate with them or whichever it is. And it seems like they're so untouchable, but when you realize they are just human beings, and being able to have normal conversations with them, and knowing that they, this is not my focal point nearly clearly, but it's like they go to the bathroom like we do. They bathe like we do. They eat like we do. And that's sort of the weird balance with me, is I like the normalcy about the immortals. It's an odd thing, but that's like, some of my collection now. I have the sink from Lucille Ball's house, you know. It's just such a weird thing to have, but it makes her a human being, yet she's still a superstar. So I love that, being able to sort of, you know, picture them as normal people.
But they're not. And that is such a kind of a strange place to be, because I know exactly what you're saying. When I'm reading about on findadeath.com, and I'm reading about, first of all, I can read about how all of the cast of I Love Lucy died. And with that, it does, you know, it reminds you of the struggles, and it's not one to laugh at or take any sort of solace in, at least when it comes to Lucille Ball, but it was more of one of, you know, that she got very ill, and she, you know, people thought that she might have pulled out and she didn't. I mean, this is stuff that might sound odd to say, but it does need to be, it does need to be recorded somewhere, somehow.
Yeah, it is that is a way of memorializing these people, mm-hmm. is recording in that way. And I've always been one that sort of spoke in my mind about things. And I also believe that these people, whomever they may be, their reputations are part of their lives and of their deaths. So, like, for instance, I don't set out to be nasty about anyone.
No.
But if a person was nasty when they were alive, that doesn't make them not nasty now. You know, I'll call them out.
Yeah.
And it's not picking on people who aren't there. It's just a fact. You know, some people write biographies. Well, I write the ends of people's biographies. And if I think they're a jerk, you know, if I've had experiences with them, and I know they are, it doesn't mean they're not. So I'll call them out.
Well, and you know, it's, I mean, that's probably where the first place I ever really learned about the type of person, say, Paul Lynde was, or Richard Deacon was. I mean, I put those two together because, you know, they have that story about, you know, having, you know, drinks and people. And part of your site, at least when we're talking Find a Death, is partially also successful by the people who add to the stuff that you write with their experiences that they've had with those people as well, which makes it even more of a human experience.
Yeah, definitely. And that, and when I opened up my museum in Hollywood, people contributed that way too. So yeah, their thoughts, their feelings, their experiences, like you mentioned the Paul Lynde and Richard Deacon thing, to clarify, or just to there were some, I forget what the story was or who that was about. It must have been about Paul Lynde. And then someone sent in the story about how, was it Richard Deacon, Paul Lynde, and Nancy Walker?
It was Nancy Walker. Yes, it was Nancy Walker.
and just waved a drink, you know, waved over to them and said hello. And they invited him over to have a drink, whomever it was that sent me that information. And it's nice to know that side of them. It's nice to know that somebody had such a lovely experience with them that we wouldn't have known about. And what a pair, you know, what a trio of people to put together. And that, those are the fun facts. It's always, I like to discover the facts that I didn't know about the facts I thought I, the people I thought I knew everything about.
And the thing about that too, I'm just thinking about Paul Lynde, you know, and the type of person he was, and, you know, you're dealing with somebody who was living in a time that homosexuality wasn't, really well accepted. And, you know, so it's like there might be some stories about him that were maybe putting him in a bad light, but it was also very contextual as well, that about how, what he had to deal with being a big star. They kept trying to put vehicles in front of him to star in. They're not working, really, apart from Hollywood Squares. And yet he's, I mean, there's just the, that there are multiple layers to the stories of these people.
Yeah, yeah, and it's not always pretty, and I don't set out to trash people, but it's interesting to know that side of them because it's an important side of them. We can stay, you know, we can read the Internet Movie Database for their list of their credits, but I want to know who they're like, and I want to know what they're like, and, you know, Paul Lynde in particular, you know, had an issue with substance abuse, with alcoholism, and everyone loved him, but when he drank, he became ugly. Really an ugly drunk, but he said some pretty funny things too. He was a very clever drunk. So, you know, it's just interesting. So there's a side, there's a side that people don't normally see.
And I've been, and I'm trying not to zigzag too far out of the place here, but it's very exciting to talk to. In fact, I got to say, you got a number of people here who are really big fans. Heather is fangirling so hard. I mean, she doesn't actually say which one of us. I mean, but I'll assume it's you, maybe, you know. But
Oh, Heather, that's very cool.
we got a bunch of them. You know, it's nice to see people excited about you coming on, and I'm very excited to have you on as well. And you know, as for those of you who had followed him or don't really know what Scott does. I mean, one of the areas that I go to is Find a Death. Even is it being updated, or is that kind of moved along a little bit?
Yeah, it's fallen to the wayside. Lots of projects sort of have it. Just you know, I got involved with sightseeing, and now I'm YouTube, and it's sort of like I'm just a guy, and there's all these different things that I'll do a podcast, I have to do this video, I have to do, you know, and I like doing all those things, but it's really hard to I can't compartmentalize, and I have so many things to do that I can't do anything, and that's a real problem for me. But you know, they still exist, they're all still there, they've been neglected by me.
Well, and do you see a point that there is a certain era of Hollywood that, and stars, that once they are dying out more and more and more, that your interest in, you know, current stars dying or something may be less impactful for you? Or does it just...
Oh, yeah. I don't care almost about anyone, you know, there are so many cookie cutter people out there. There's no distinction.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can appreciate performances and actors, but yeah, there's no real personalities anymore. And that's a very vague sweeping statement,
yeah.
Clearly, but I find it difficult to get excited about anybody really. There's not a lot of people I would say, ooh, I'm going to go to see that because so-and-so is in it. Not anyone that's under the age of 70, you know, anyway.
And I have to assume too, to a certain degree, that it's kind of odd how that is almost mimicking what Hollywood itself has become as far as like physical buildings. Like all the stuff that has been so iconic or has been around for so long is being torn down and being other stuff being put in its place.
Yeah, I mean, it's just lazy. You know, it's funny. I was just watching tonight, Troy and I were watching Hell's Kitchen and mm-hmm. Bar Rescue. And I love those shows. I eat them. I love those shows so much. But yet I'm thinking this is just reality. This is just contest. It's cheap entertainment.
Yep.
But I really enjoy it. But there's not a lot of care put into entertainment so much anymore as reality. And that's sort of sad. And that contributes to the lack of there being any real standouts. In my opinion, again, I'm not, you know, I don't go to the movies that much anymore, you know?
Yeah.
So, and I read, I stopped my Inquirer and I stopped my Globe subscriptions because the people were just like, I don't know who these people are anymore.
Absolutely. Now, Scott, you and I didn't have a chance to talk beforehand. Is it okay if people in the chat ask you any questions?
Oh, sure. Yeah. No, that'd be great.
All right, folks. But go ahead. Put some questions in the chat, and we're going to ask those. What we're going to do, let's go ahead and take our first break. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Scott Michaels, Dearly Departed podcast, as well as Dearly Departed YouTube channel, and we're going to have a great conversation. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. And join me this weekend, October 14th, for the Witchy Weekend on the St. Croix at the American Legion, 491 in Bay Point, Minnesota. That's from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. You can get tickets on Eventbrite. Just look up Witchy Weekend on the St. Croix. I will be speaking there this weekend, and I am very excited about that. As you know, it's always nice to be able to speak. I'm going to play some of my evidence recordings that I have and other stuff, and I'm really looking forward to that. I'm very happy right now. I have with me Scott Michaels, Dearly Departed podcast, Dearly Departed YouTube channel. A lot of great content. Also, check out findadeath.com. Yeah, I mean, Scott said that he hasn't updated it recently, but there are hundreds of people to look up and read about on there. Scott, do you want to take some questions and see what's out there?
Happy to, Greg.
Let's do it. First of all, because I have lots of questions, but I think I'd rather have some of these fans who keep saying stuff like, Scott's the best guest and has so many wonderful stories to share. The chat has just been filled with all of that. Heather does ask, did you know that Tiny Tim is buried in Minneapolis? I think he's actually buried in this radio station, as it happens. No, he's not. But
well, actually, I do, because I have the receipt from his grave purchase that his widow had. I actually got the cemetery receipt for payment of Tiny's grave. So yeah, I am familiar with that one. Thank you.
How do you have this? Why do you have this? I love it.
That was a donation, actually, because I love Tiny Tim. I have a lot of Tiny Tim memorabilia. And there was someone who was friends with Tiny Tim's widow and said, I have these unusual items. Would you like them? I'd be happy to donate them. And I got a swatch from the jacket that he wore on the night that he died when he was on stage. He collapsed on stage, or just as he was leaving stage. And I got these wonderful, bizarre items, which is really appropriate for Tiny Tim because he was such a wonderful and bizarre guy.
Now, if someone is a death hag, is it when they actually provide information about anyone who passed, any stars that passed, or is it just something that anyone could be a death hag?
Well, sure. I mean, just it's a matter of admitting that you're interested. I mean, now it's all very, you know, it's nothing anymore. But there was a time when I started finding that back in 98, which is, I don't know how many years ago that is now, but, you know, people, there were no true crime networks.
No.
You know, there was no internet yet, or the internet had just started. Find a Grave, it just started.
Yeah.
So there wasn't, like, I remember Google didn't even happen yet. And if you wanted to use, there was no image searching. So when I was writing these pictures or these stories about like Ava Gabor, I had to find a Green Acres book and I had to scan it in myself. There was no image search. So this is really a long, long time
ago. Yeah.
And I just say there was a time when people used to be ashamed to be interested in this. Now, you know, they would buy their true crime magazines to kind of hide it in the back of their grocery bag. Now there's 24/7 networks, so you don't have to be afraid or to admit it. But back then, it was a little bit, you know, it was a bit edgy to say you were interested in that.
I wasn't sure if you had to be like involved with something to actually become a death egg, because I think to myself, do I have anything that I could be close to being of that ilk? And the closest I ever got was I dated one of the secretaries of Paisley Park, and so we had seen one of Prince's notorious like 2:30 in the morning shows or whatever. But
wow.
I dated her after she left Paisley Park. But you know, she told the stories of you. These are true stories that you were not allowed to look at him. You are not allowed. You know, like when he would walk in the room, you'd majesty. You know, you'd put your head down and not look directly at him. And the drug abuse and all that stuff that was rampant back in 98, 99. So it was really interesting. And you know somewhere. There is, you know, in a vault somewhere, there's that elevator footage of him collapsing and dying, you know.
Yeah.
Does that stuff?
Yeah, that's fascinating. And those are kind of, you know, she's confirming with you what we kind of already knew about him. And then you hear these other stories about him with the basketball games, the crazy basketball games, that, like Charlie Murphy told the story about that. And then you hear about... you know, just the bizarre behavior, which I love. It's just that extreme behavior. How didn't he wear his like high heeled boots when he was playing basketball?
Absolutely.
I love that. Kind of stuff. So, you know, the extreme always makes an impression.
And are you interested in this is kind of a weird question. Are you interested in the footage of some of these things, like the Prince footage, other stuff? And I ask that because I thought I was. And then shortly after Michael Jackson passed away, that someone leaked out that footage from that Pepsi commercial where he starts on fire. And it's like, oh, wow, this I'm curious to see what it was. I watch it and it's far worse than anything that like had been recreated in the Michael Jackson biofilms and stuff like that. And I thought, oh, you know, I guess I went too far this time. I think I went a step too far in my interest in these things.
Well, yeah, I guess, I mean, and fair enough, you know, your own boundaries. I've always said that I don't want to see a picture of somebody getting run over by a train. I have no interest in that. Mm-hmm. However, if Marilyn Monroe was hit by a train, I'd watch, you know, I would, if I had the opportunity to see the, you know, because I'm curious, I want to see that. So, you know, I don't want to see people get beheaded. You know, that's the most horrible thing to watch. Innocent people, those terrible things happening to people. But I have seen that, and I regret looking at it. However, if it's somebody, you know, that's well known, it's part of the package.
Yeah.
I think, and it could be considered an invasion of privacy, but you know, they're public figures. So there's a fine line, and I know I dance all over that line back and forth. So.
And a close one to that also is like the Paul Walker footage of like the crash. I mean, I don't know if there's actually footage of the crash per se, but I mean, you get enough of it.
Yeah, there are photos. I mean, I there is a photo that's out there that's definitely of him afterwards in the car still.
It's on your page, isn't it? Isn't it in his?
It probably is.
I think you actually, and folks, you know, once again, if you don't like hearing this type of stuff, this might not be the episode to listen to, but there, you actually have it where you like out, You outlined
him. Yeah, well, no, because it's a fact. I mean, we're not dressing it up. It's
no,
death happens.
No, this is where Paul Walker is on,
yeah,
on in
and
that
here
car.
He is. If you want to see it, here. But if you don't, don't.
Yeah.
And, you know, take responsibility for your own actions. Don't blame it on somebody else if you saw something you don't want to see.
Exactly.
And don't look at it if you don't want to. It doesn't matter to me, but for those that do, I think that it's a curiosity that deserves to be acknowledged.
And there's a lot of us out there. There's just a lot of us out there who really love this stuff. Okay, I know this story, but I Karen's asking for you to tell it again, and I think it is a great one. I was just thinking about this, the story of buying Dee Martin a beer, and also is his old house in Palm Springs renovated yet?
You know, the house, Troy and I drove past the house probably 2 or 3 weeks ago. And the only thing that's different is, the trees have been, I think one or two trees are gone. And there's a fence around it now, one of those temporary chain link fences with the green tarp over it. So there was some movement, but not within the house. The house is boarded up a little bit more. Mm. I'm pretty sure the house has been sold. Well, and they're going to do something with it. I'm pretty sure those fences are there probably because of me. And again, I didn't set out to upset anybody, but I walked around the house with a camera because I want to see Dee Martin's house.
Mm-hmm.
And that video has gotten like 2 million views. So, yeah, I feel a little guilty, but I was only providing a service and I thought it was an interesting service. And Dee Martin was a nice guy. And I didn't know him, but I met him. And, when I first moved to LA in the early 90s, Dean Martin would go to this restaurant called the Hamburger Hamlet, mm-hmm. and he would watch the baseball game on Sunday afternoons. And you would set your watch by him. 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoons, he and his a chauffeur or assistant, he would walk in with Dean. Dean would sit down at the table, and assistant would go and leave, and Dean would have his dinner, or I should say lunch. And I would take people there to see him when my sister came to visit. Mm-hmm. And we went to go see Dee Martin. We never bothered him, but it was just something how cool is this? We get to go see Dee Martin when we want to. And, but one day I decided I wanted to meet him, and I went alone, and I sat at the bar, and I sat at the one seat at the bar that blocked his table's view of the baseball game. I knew he would be able to see it. And so I sat there, and he came in and he tapped me on the shoulder after a couple of minutes and asked me if I wouldn't mind moving. And I said, yeah, sure, no problem. And I did. And the bartender came over and said, Mr. Martin would like to buy you a drink. And I got a beer, which I saved the bottle. And I walked over to him, shook his hand, and talked to him for a second. I mentioned Marilyn Monroe. I mentioned Sharon Tate because it was my moral obligation to do that. just to get a comment, they're a very nice lady, nice women or something to that effect. There was nothing of any depth to it, but it was just my moral obligation to mention those two names with Dean Martin. And it was terrific. So, now I have that story, and the beer bottle.
And it's, I don't think it is hyperbole to say that they don't have them like him anymore, right? I mean, I think it's especially based on your own experience that there aren't people. There's nice people out there, nice stars. I understand that, but that is truly a different era altogether. That doesn't exist anymore.
They had a track record. They've been around for a really long time. They had, hit movies. They had they had recordings that we knew. And, the movies, MGM was kicking out, 4 or 8 movies a year, or 1 a month or something, or 1 every 2 weeks. I don't know. We weren't inundated. We didn't have 800 channels. We didn't have, channels desperately pumping out more and more garbage or shows or whatever, and 25,000 movie studios that are always making movies, and we didn't get foreign films. Foreign films were like at one theater, and now they're the crazy art films or something. So it's all different. We have so much information, and there's not a lot of quality information or projects that there's a lot of quality that we don't see, which is unfortunate. But the personalities just don't really shine through anymore. They're just actors, and they're talented, and they look pretty, and they look great. But just they don't have the charm or something. That's the individuality.
Yeah, it's very different. And I mean, I suppose that people who are younger are going to look at down the line, they will have some complaints about the next era of stars.
God,
and whatnot.
What can that be? You know what? Right, well, it's going to be AI, isn't it? It's just going to be not true. Real people.
Oh God.
So yeah, that's that. Because where else can it go from here? But that.
I was thinking, Dean Martin to me still is the epitome of cool. It just really is. And I think about, and I, of course, I can't think of the name of the spy films he did in the 60s, the three of
them. Matt Helm movies.
Matt Helm movies. God, they're good. They're, I mean, so good I can't remember the name of them, obviously. But they're just, they are really, it's a lot of fun. It's everything that I've seen him in has been, I really enjoy. Now, let's see here. Got some low-hanging fruit here that I'm not sure if you like to answer or not, but I mean, why not ask? Who is the worst celebrity you've ever met? Right?
Well, I mean, that's if I was more prepared, I could probably think of somebody better. But the one that comes to mind the most is, or the quickest, is Billy Zane, and that's he's another one that I just think he's a dick, and he was a dick. he's a total dick, and to me a couple of times, not just once, so, and other people I know. So yeah, he's just not a nice person, just definitely not cool,
you know. And getting back real fast to the like the Dean Martin thing, do you think I mean, especially you're in the hub of it, so to speak, do you think that were you ever surprised with how easy it was to have interactions with some of these stars back in the day?
In retrospect, yeah, certainly. We were able to, I mean, you could go to backstage doors, you know, when Larry King was doing his show, uh-huh. It was live. So you could drive over to the theater and to the building and see the people that were coming out if you wanted to meet them. You know, you could meet people backstage at plays, what they were doing. I met a ton of people that way. And I was fortunate enough to be involved in television for a while when I lived in England. Mm-hmm. So I was able to meet a lot of people that way. Things are different now. I remember back in the 90s when I first moved to LA, we would go garbage picking at celebrities' houses. I never claimed to be classy in any way. So I really don't care. I gave up defending myself a long time ago too, because I just figured, you know, you don't like me, that's cool.
Yeah.
But we used to, you know, go garbage picking and And one time I hopped over Jimmy Stewart's house and I was like crawling around in his garden because I just wanted to see it. And you know, it was innocent. It really was. Honestly, we meant nothing. Yeah. You know, we were, but today that'd be a whole different thing. I'd be taking my life in my hands. So it was, you know, they were magic. The celebrities were magic, and to find them being real people was fascinating.
And I'm sure one of the things that probably surprised you the most, I mean, I just kind of get this from being outside the circle, is how, you know, some might just be, and not even like the Billy Zane sort of thing, but some might just be very, like, would be very upset to find you going through their trash, while others might be like, I have some more in the house. You want me to bring you some more trash? Like, totally surprise you with that.
Yeah, I doubt a lot of people would do that. But I remember the National Enquirer would do the same thing. They just, here's the Reagan's garbage. And they went and grabbed a garbage bag. And they just photographed everything that was in the garbage. I mean, it's just people's reality. They're these superstars or these mega personalities or royalty, you know, the fact that they're real people is fascinating. I couldn't go, you know, it's fascinating. So it's sad, it's tacky, but you know, there you are.
I don't think it's tacky at all. I'm reading people who's posting in here and I don't know if they got it from you, that I cherish my tile from Jane Mansfield's heart-shaped pool, because that is a connection, isn't it? And it's a connection you wouldn't otherwise have with someone that you really love their work and want to have something to remember them by. It's no different than when my parents passed, that I have stuff of theirs that I want to hold on to because they're not there anymore.
Yeah, Jane Mansfield was a different animal altogether, but yes. And she was just the definition over the top, and we were lucky enough to own, you know, several things of Jane's house, and I was lucky enough to stand in the heart-shaped pool, the famous heart-shaped pool, which is actually a heart-shaped hole in the ground at that point, but I was still there, and it's you know, that's why I'll always scramble over a wall and grab a brick or something like that. That's tangible. That's something you can hold in your hand. That. I don't know. It's important. It's important. It's history.
And you're not stealing Rosebud. You know, you're taking a brick. at the end of the day. I mean, it has a connection to people like us, but it's at the end of the day, you're not committing federal crimes.
Yeah, well, yeah, right.
Just local
it's just
ones.
A lot of junk to some people, but all in one room, that makes it more fun. You know, you can't take it too seriously. I mean, I have a cigarette butt that was Carrie Fisher's. I mean, I knew Carrie Fisher, and you know, but for some reason, I kept the cigarette butt, and I have it on a little pedestal with a little pin light on it. It's outrageous. It's ridiculous, and it's silly, and I think it's funny.
That is funny. Okay, let's do this. Let's go ahead and take our next break. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Scott Michaels. If you have questions for him, keep putting them into the chat. I will have some of my own questions I'm going to ask, too. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. And join me tomorrow on Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken as I'm going to have on Witch Jody. You just heard her spots from Midwest Witchery and Healing. We're going to be talking about all sorts of witchery stuff. We're going to be talking also about her being a Salem witch, as well as talking about some big plans we have to broadcast on Halloween this year. It's going to be very exciting. Wednesday, we're going to be talking with A&E Ghost Hunter Daryl Marston, as we're going to be talking about his new book. Well, it was new at the time I originally asked him to be on the show, but then there's been a number of things, not because of him, but because of me, that delayed his appearance. But his book, The Horrors of the House of Wills, is out. We're going to be talking about that. It's going to be a great conversation. Thursday, we're going to have C.L. Thomas. We're going to be talking about her new book, Dancing with Demons, A Paranormal Encounter. And then Friday, it's Friday the 13th, so we're going to be talking superstitions. And for that, we have D.R. McElroy. We're going to talk about her book, Superstitions, A Handbook of Folklore, Myths, and Legends. It's going to be a great week, and I am very excited to have on Mr. Scott Michaels. We've been talking about all things about celebrity deaths. We've been talking about, you know, just some really great stories as well. And you know, the one thing that always sticks out in my mind, Scott, is and I haven't been on your YouTube page lately, but your video that you did showing some sort of behind the scenes stuff with Anthony Bourdain and talking about, you know, and talking about him very being very clear about certain things that he's heard about in certain hotels and stuff. And, you know, you don't know. You're just making a putting it out there. If anyone wants to think that way about if what he was talking about in that video was any indication of what happened to him and why he took his own life. And I know that there's a lot of different pieces to that, and I think more has come out since then. But I thought it was a very interesting piece that you put out there.
Anthony Bourdain was a really nice guy. I mean, honest to God, I didn't know who he was. And the production company were really trying to pin me down to do this show, which was called...
The Layover.
Yes, what, The Layover.
One of the worst premises for television ever, I think.
Well, they told me there's this guy, they must have said Anthony Bourdain, but they said he really wants to do your tour. And I said, well, I get asked to do these shows all the time, and, you know, Real Princesses of Something and, you know, Blind Date this. And so I have no time for it because I know there's never any compensation. And it ends up being a really long, exhausting process. So I usually just don't do them. And they were really persistent. I said, I can't do it the day you want to. Can you do Saturday? No, I can't do Saturday. I'll give you an hour on Friday. And it turned out to be one of the most, you know, sort of important things publicity wise that I ever did. But Anthony Bourdain is a legend, and he, during the tour, he, of all the tours in LA, he's never done tours, and any of his programs, he wanted to do my tour.
Yep.
And during the tour, we started talking about different celebrities and how they died, and he said point blank, is there any autoerotic asphyxiation on this tour? And I said, yes, there is. And he said, that's what I'm talking about.
Yep.
So, you know, take it or leave it. I don't care what. There's the information. I'm just repeating it. In fact, I didn't repeat it. He repeated it in my video.
He did.
And there's the speculation that that's indeed what happened in that Paris hotel room. You know, I can only tell you what I heard. And I thought that was pretty interesting.
I agree. I thought that was very interesting as well. What I didn't realize is that you have a piece of Anne Haecht's car.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sometimes I take things from places. They're considered garbage.
Right.
And sometimes I go, you know, maybe, you know, in retrospect. But it's still history, but it's a bit present, you know, and it's a bit horrific. But it is. It just is. And we've all seen it. We've also heard about the accident. But it deserves to be seen, I think. So, yeah, I did go to the accident scene, did walk all the way through it. I found a piece of her car. And that was distinctive color. And yeah, I have it. Yeah. And one day it'll be on display for everyone to see. Well, I guess that's how I defend my actions now.
Well, and I would agree with you. I mean, if otherwise it would be thrown out or put some. I mean, I totally agree that you should have it. If anyone should have it, it's you, actually.
Yeah, I get a lot of flack for things. And for instance, very recently, the door from the Tate House on Cielo Drive, where the quote Manson murders occurred, went up for auction at Julian's. And I did a story about the door and about the house and about the people that had been in that house and the people that claimed they should have been there the night of the murders. And the comments are like, that should be destroyed. Get rid of it. You know, that should be destroyed. And I understand that. However, I will also say these things are our Dealey Plaza. These things are our Ford Theater where President Lincoln was killed.
Yep.
You know, I said, Jane Mansfield's son, I introduced myself to him and I said to him, I own the car, the Buick. And he was, you know, he visually, you know, he stepped back like he was really shocked. He says, I don't want anything to do with you.
Yeah.
And I said, no, I don't blame you. I'm just want to let you know I have this. It's going on display. He said, well, isn't that morbid? And I said, yes, I suppose it is. But it's not that we are making fun of your mother. Your mother was very important in Hollywood. And it's all about Hollywood history. Yeah. And at the end of the conversation, he smiled and he shook my hand. He said, I will not give you my blessings, but thank you for letting me know. So there's an understanding that they were superheroes or they were our royalty, Hollywood royalty. And, you know, like it or not, I just say, don't go. You know, you don't want to see it. Don't do it. If you either get what I do or you really, really don't.
Right. And have you ever turned anyone around from going from no thank you, whatever, to, okay, I get it. And, you know, now I'm interested a little bit more. And I don't mean like the everyday person like myself, but I mean someone of some notoriety to like such as Sharon Tate's son or whatever.
Well, I mean, I knew Deborah Tate, Sharon's sister, and Sharon Tate's sister knew, you know, I became friendly with her for a while. And in fact, when I first introduced myself, because I had a tour based solely on the Tate-LaBianca murders, the Helter Skelter tour. And, you know, I exploit people. It's a really crude way to do it, but I do at the end of the day. It's like anyone that writes a book. It's like anyone that makes a documentary. You are exploiting things. And when I met Deborah Tate, I went up to her and I said, my name is Scott Michaels. And I held out my hand. She goes, I know who you are. And I thought, oh, here it comes. And she goes, I'm not going to shake your hand, but I will hug you. And she gave me a hug. It's like, this is a girl who knows, the woman who knows everything about what I do. It surprises me. But then that's a whole different realm of famous and infamous, you know, when you're talking about that particular case.
Right.
But you know, and she's become so desensitized about the attention. But I don't know. I can't think of too many situations where I felt that I turned somebody's opinion around about what I do. I know some people can just begrudgingly see why I do what I do.
Sure.
Now,
Jan had said that I have a piece of Sharon's fireplace that I got from Scott a couple years ago and still haven't opened the package to actually handle it because I'm too creeped out by it.
I get it. Totally. I always say, you know, we have so many bizarre things, you know, in one room I will have, you know, a tile from the pool Brian Jones drowned, a piece of John Denver's airplane, the bolts from the light post that Paul Walker hit when he was killed, you know, crime scene tape from O.J. Simpson, a piece of the floor from Bobby Kennedy where he was assassinated, you know, bricks from the Ambassador Hotel, the entire Jane Mansfield car, all in one room. So, yeah, there's going to be some stuff banging around in there, but we've always been very kind and respectful to the people. When we walk in, everyone that walked in, we never even had to, you know, tell the staff. It was never anything to, like, when you do this, but everyone go, hello, everybody, hope you're well. And, you know, we holy water, sage, the whole bit, you know, we will always be respectful of these things. And I say, as long as you're not, you know, like, you know, defiling them somehow. And maybe, you know, I just feel like you treat them well and there's not going to be a problem. You can coexist.
We have about 4 minutes or so left. Have you ever, it would be amazing to do something like, you know, as you know what this stuff is, because you've been on ghost adventures and stuff, like bring a spirit box, if you haven't already, and seeing if there's any sort of reaction or anything, any sort of conversation or anything from there. Or is that an area that you're not interested in exploring?
Well, I'm interested enough. I mean, I've been on several investigations and I've had several occurrences.
Yeah.
I'm not one to anxiously believe, like the Ghost Adventures crew. I mean, I enjoy doing that show. I've done it a few times, but I do know that they are, like, you know, one time we were walking and my foot, like my ankle cracked or something like that. And they about lost their shit. You know, they all whip around with their cameras and everything, like, you know, and it was just like, you know, I could have cracked my thumb or my, you know, my knuckle. I'm not anxious to believe things, but there are some things that are just not mistakable. You know,
right.
There are some messages that you get and I've seen it, I've heard it and I've experienced it. And so, but I, you know, I'm not a paranormal investigator. In fact, in the shop, we only ever had one investigation ever. I wouldn't let anyone in because I think it's kind of disrespectful in a way. But we did, my friend Bridget Marquardt, who had the ghost, you know, the girl next door, the Playboy model, ghost, sorry, she just finished her podcast. But anyway, Bridget was, I let her do a podcast for her show in there once, an investigation. But I don't know, I don't think those things should be, I'm trying to use a nice word, I don't think it should be trifled with.
Yeah.
However,
yeah.
You know, I think their investigations are great.
Perhaps with purpose, right?
Yeah. And be respectful. Everyone's
yeah.
curious.
Yeah.
But I've seen people just go, you know, come on out here, whoever you are, show yourself. And it's like, be careful what you wish for, you know? You don't know
totally.
What you're going
to. Totally. You know? Now, we just have a couple minutes left, but I have to think, do you have any of the original Hollywood sign? I would think if anyone does, like, I can't imagine, like, you have, like, the whole H in your house.
No, I do have a, I've got this right over here. I don't want to go off camera,
no,
but I do,
fine.
And it's about this big. And, yeah, literally a part of the original H from the first. I can get it if you want.
No, I just think it's funny that I just picked H, and you that's what you have, and which is also what Peg Anwissel jumped from, right?
That's right, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
September 16th, 1932.
It was from that.
The
that
only
age.
Person to have ever jumped off the Hollywood sign. People say, oh, they do that all the time. No, it's only once there's been a suicide off the Hollywood sign.
That is crazy. I mean, that's a whole other area that I find so fascinating is the Hollywood sign itself and the history about it and everything else. Just so much. There's so much out there.
Yeah, it's a fascinating place. And I miss living there. But when I go back, I'm happy to leave when I do.
I bet.
We left at a good time. You know, I was in business for 16 years. I've been doing the sightseeing business since 1993 and in LA. And it's a much slower pace where I live right now. I'm in the desert near Palm Springs.
Nice.
And it's going from one extreme to the other. I like being busy. I like, you know, the vibe, but, you know, I'm glad to leave when I go to LA. I'm happy to be there, but really happy to leave.
I bet. Now, right now, to see current content would be going to the Dearly Departed YouTube channel. Am I correct?
That's right.
That?
Yeah, Dearly Departed Tours on YouTube. Look
Got
up
it.
Scott Michaels or Dearly Departed Tours, and yeah, that's my career now. Since the business shut down, thankfully I was able to get another career.
That is great.
And it's a lot of fun putting these videos together. It's virtual sightseeing.
And they are really good videos. If you want to check it out, please do so. Scott Michaels, I really appreciate you coming on. I hope that you consider coming on again at some point because this was a really great conversation and we didn't really even talk about a whole lot, I feel like.
No, I had fun, Greg. And thank you for asking.
Absolutely. And we'll stay in touch about that. Everyone, join me tomorrow as we have on Witch Jody. Have a great night. and we'll talk to you tomorrow.